Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Shall we turn our Bibles to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17 for our scripture reading this morning? I'll read in your hearing. The Bible says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. It's good to be here. I feel humbled to be up here because I feel I'm not fit to stand in front of God's people. But the view is great from here. You're looking good, and I pray that you feel as good as you look. I wanted to just take the time to thank God for allowing us to be here in this his house and to be in a position to worship him and to serve him. It's a blessing that we oftentimes take for granted, especially here in the U.S., We should always remember to thank God because it's a privilege, his choice to allow us to be here. Let's pray together before we begin. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you've seen it right and fit for us to be here, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters and to honor thee and to call upon thy holy name. We ask, Father, that you may send us the Holy Spirit this morning, that he may bound us together. That, dear Father, our minds may focus on thee, thee alone. That the end of this worship, O God, only your name may be glorified, that we may bring honor to you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just, I thought it's a good reminder to say that my family and I are immigrants. I don't have to define the word immigrants, but most of you know that we are from a foreign country. And as I understand, if I understand my history well, a lot of folks here this morning have ancestors who migrated from another country. So really, the U.S. is made up of immigrants, people who have moved here from other countries. And so the idea of migrating from one country to another in search of, let's just say, greener pastures or the American dream is not new. It was there in Bible times. So I thought this morning we'll look at a very simple story in the Bible from which we can draw a number of lessons for ourselves. It's in the book of Ruth, part of which we just read here this morning. So I want to ask you to just keep your finger on the book of Ruth, particularly chapter 1. And that's where we'll sort of hover around as we go through our study this morning. It's a very, very short book. And chapter 1 is, in my Bible, it's actually one page. The book of Ruth tells a story of a family who migrated from one place to another. The story is something like a man was married to his wife, and his wife's name was called Naomi. Beautiful name. And they had two sons. Reminds me of the time we moved to the U.S. It was me, my wife, and two sons. So they migrated from Bethlehem to a city or a country called Moab. As I understand it from Scripture, unemployment was high in Jerusalem, rather in Bethlehem. People were going hungry. Reminds me of some of the discussions we've heard on the news lately. Economists and politicians particularly talk about unemployment being high, 8 or 9% or somewhere around there. A number of people are going hungry. So that was how it was in Bethlehem. Inflation, I would imagine, was high. It wasn't raining. Times were just hard. So the husband, his wife Naomi, and their two sons packed their suitcase and off they went. They decided to move to Moab in search of a better life for themselves. The Bible tells us that, I imagine it was as soon as they got to Moab, the husband died. Sad situation. I couldn't imagine me dying as soon as we got to the U.S. But it happened. The husband died. And I'd imagine that the children had grown. Because as soon as the husband died, the children who had been dating Moab girls decided to get married. So they married these two Moab girls. One was called Orpah, and the other one was called Ruth. Bible says they lived there another 10 years. For some reason, they never had kids. But it so happened that after 10 years, both sons of Naomi died. It appears they died suddenly. But I can't imagine losing a husband and two kids in a foreign country. I would imagine that she was so lonely, so discouraged, her social support might have been zero, because the only people she might have known at the time were her daughters-in-law. I cannot imagine myself being in a situation where I've lost a spouse and I've lost my children. It actually happened to me a few weeks ago. Some of you might know, but God was kind enough to allow me to travel back to Zambia, Africa, late last month to go visit. And I wanted to spend some time with a family that Hope and I had known for many years. We had worshipped in the same church. So as soon as I got there, I started asking about this family. It was a family of husband and wife, a daughter, and three sons. I was so discouraged to learn, the more I asked about this family, to find out that this brother was all by himself now. He had lost his wife. Over the years that we've been over here, he had lost his wife, he lost his daughter, and he had lost his sons. So he was all by himself. I felt so guilty personally that I wasn't there to mourn with him. I couldn't imagine what he was going through because my mind could not construct the right sentence to comfort him. But I was encouraged, though, because he was still in the church. He was still serving God as if nothing had happened at all. Very encouraging for me. But I couldn't imagine those days because it was different. The circumstances were different. Naomi had suddenly become a widow and childless. I couldn't imagine what she was going through. Only those who've lost a loved one could be able to explain what they felt. In those days, as I understand from Scripture, widows were looked down upon. They were taken advantage of. They almost lived in constant poverty. And God's law provided that the nearest relative of the dead husband should take care of the widow. Well, Naomi was in a different situation because she was in a foreign land and she had no relatives in Moab. The closest so-called relative were her daughters-in-law. But also, she didn't know if there were any of her relatives or her dead husband's relatives in Bethlehem. It wasn't like these days where you can Google somebody and be able to know if they are dead or not. It wasn't like today where you could send somebody an email or chat with them on Facebook or tweet them. Frankly, it doesn't mean I don't know how Twitter works, but you couldn't tweet them, I would imagine. So she didn't know how many of her relatives were alive. If we go back to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible tells us that it was during these very difficult times that she and her sisters-in-law got wind of the news that, in fact, God had blessed the land of Bethlehem with food. The economy was starting to pick up again. Things were looking up. God had come to the aid of the people of Israel by providing food. That's what the Bible said. With this good news, Naomi made a decision. She called her daughters-in-law and decided it's time to head back home. Things are looking up. But as they started off, Naomi said to the girls, "I think it's not right for me to go with you to a foreign land. It's only fair for you to go back to your mothers. Why don't you stay here in Moab? Because this is where you belong. There is no reason for you to come with me. In fact, you are still young, beautiful, and attractive. Why don't you find yourselves men to marry? You see, I am too old to have any sons. I don't have any more sons. You could find yourselves husbands and start families." The Bible says that they kissed, hugged, and said goodbye. One thing that struck me, though, in the Bible was that I can understand that our mothers are quick to shed tears in circumstances where they have to say goodbye to somebody. I told you I was going to Zambia for a few weeks. I spent the whole time with my sister because I hadn't seen her in so long. When it was time for us to say goodbye, I could see her shedding tears. But in this case, the three ladies, the Bible says, wept aloud. It was almost like they were wailing because they didn't want to part. The two girls insisted on staying with Naomi. "You don't want to be with me," Naomi says, "as God has gone against me." The way I read that is that Naomi was angry with God because God had apparently taken her husband and her two sons. Aren't we all like that sometimes when we are discouraged, when we are hurt? We find somebody to blame. When things are not going right, it seems to be human nature for us to blame God. Sometimes we blame our husbands. Sometimes we blame our wives. I would imagine perhaps Naomi was blaming her husband for having made the decision to migrate from Bethlehem to Moab. As a matter of fact, verse 20 of chapter 1, Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because God has made my life bitter and has brought misfortune upon me." I think there's a lesson there for us, friends. That when we have decided that God is against us, when you and I decide that God is against us, we tend to exaggerate our hopelessness. We are suggesting that our situation is beyond repair. We become so bitter, we become so angry, we can't see any rays of light at all. You and I can understand how Naomi felt, but she forgets that it was God who broke the famine back in Bethlehem. It was God who gave her the idea of trying to go back to Bethlehem. But Naomi was so bitter with God and God's providence that she could not see any mercy at work in her life. Sometimes we are like that. Our anger clouds us so much we don't see the blessings that God continues to pour upon us. Oprah, one of the girls, made a decision, very quick decision. She knew she had a future back in Moab. So she quickly kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and left. But Ruth clung on to her. In fact, there's a picture in one of my Bibles with Ruth actually holding on to her mother-in-law who's pushing her off. In verse 16 and 17, Ruth says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so severely, if even death separates you and me." That's quite a commitment, isn't it? That is quite a commitment. Remember, Ruth is coming from a land where God is unknown. And she's now talking about, "Your God will be my God." Ruth reaffirms she wants to go with her mother-in-law. She makes it final. The mother-in-law has no choice. But in reading these verses, and as I say, Ruth chapter 1 is a very short chapter. But I drew a number of lessons personally that I thought I would share with you from just reading Ruth chapter 1. Lesson 1 that I drew from Ruth chapter 1. Don't allow bitterness and disappointment to blind you to your opportunities. Don't allow bitterness and disappointment to blind you to your opportunities. Friends, there are so many opportunities, so many blessings that God has poured upon us. Like Naomi, when things are not going well, we tend to find someone to blame, especially God. We oftentimes wonder where God is when things are not going well, when we are going through painful experiences. We push away especially those who believe in God, those who offer to pray for us. We almost want to take revenge by hurting those around us. When we hurt, the people that oftentimes take the heat are our spouses, our children. And yet, God sometimes puts them in our lives because he works through them. We have all heard of the man who lost his job a few years ago, decided he could no longer support his family, went home feeling very, very bitter, picked up his shotgun, shot all the members of his family and himself. The lesson here, friends, is that when we face bitter times, let's be careful not to overlook the love, the strength, and even the resources that only God provides in your present relationships. Lesson number 2 that I drew. We must put the needs of others before our own. Very humbling. Naomi had lost a husband and her children. Literally lost her family in a foreign land. It does not look apparent, but even in her desperate situation, Naomi had this selfless attitude. Here she is encouraging Naomi and Orpah to move back to Moab, to stay in Moab, to build their own lives in Moab. Even if she knew her future did not seem promising, she kept encouraging Ruth and Orpah. You see, friends, sometimes when we are in such dire situations, all we want to do is to share what we are going through with whoever is ready and willing to listen. We look for attention. All we want to do is to share, talk about it. This reminds me of somebody I used to work with. I used to sit across from this lady several years ago. Her office was right next to mine. And oftentimes she kept her door open. And she would go on the phone and I could literally hear her conversations. And it happened that her husband lost her job. This is probably in the 2008-2009 time frame. I didn't know the husband, I didn't know where he worked, but he lost his job. And we heard about it. And heard about it. If we went into a meeting with this lady, it was the first thing we talked about. It was the last thing we talked about. If we had an opportunity in between, we talked about the husband losing his job. All she wanted to talk about was her dire situation where her husband lost her job. It didn't end there. Every situation that she went through, we heard a lot about it. Sometimes we are like that. Like Naomi, when we act selflessly, others are encouraged. They're encouraged to follow our example. So instead of trying to find a true friend, somebody who is going to pay attention to you, somebody who will give you that attention that you're constantly seeking, seek to become a friend, one who will encourage and be a listener. The lesson here is that no matter what you're going through, let me restate, no matter what you are going through, there is somebody who needs your friendship and support. Ask God, I encourage you to ask God to reveal that person to you and then to take the challenge of being a true friend. A man of many companions may come to ruins, the Bible says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Seek to be that friend. Lesson number three that I got from this chapter. Support each other no matter what the circumstances. As friends, as a church family, as spouses, we should commit to support each other through what somebody calls thick and thin. In the verses that we just read, verse 16 and 17, Ruth is making a very serious commitment to stick with Naomi. I don't know if any of you have made such a commitment, but I doubt that even husbands and wives mean that type of commitment when they say out their marriage vows. But she now believed in Naomi's God, was prepared to die with her. Very serious commitment. I want to talk a little bit about something that I learned when I came to the U.S. I thought marriage was, you know, you find a girl, you make a proposal, you get married by saying the vows, and you live happily ever after. Well, I learned about something called a prenuptial agreement. And what that did to me was it made me think about, well, if I have a prenuptial agreement, before I actually say my vows, it actually diminishes the commitment that's in the vows. Right? So it appears to me that we should potentially remove the prenuptial agreements in our marriage commitments. Now, I know that it's probably something that is here, it's a culture, and it's going to be difficult for us to just get rid of. But as a foreigner, it sort of minimizes the commitment that folks have to their spouses because they have this, you know, hidden agenda in the prenuptial agreement. I oftentimes wonder what my wife would have told me if the day I propose to her, I say, well, now let's do the prenuptial agreement. I'm sure I wouldn't be married. Lesson number four. We should show love by adjusting to other people's situations. Again, going back to verse 16 and verse 17, Ruth is committing to change her whole lifestyle. She's prepared to leave her friends, her family that she has known all her life. This is an extreme case, it seems. But I think it's the Christian standard. Where Ruth was prepared to go to a foreign land with Naomi. But have you heard of the folks in Michigan, in Midland, who are not willing to migrate, say, to Ohio as a commitment to their friendship because they want to be close to their family? I can remember before I got married, I used to have many friends that what my kids would call hang out with, who would go to soccer games together, who would go to dinner together, who would spend time together. But as soon as I made a decision to get married, my father pulled me aside and said, now that you are getting married, the only friend you're going to have is hope. I didn't believe that, right? I didn't believe that. But I quickly found out that, in fact, that was the truth. Because I would spend early in our marriage, I would spend a lot of time, you know, with my friends at a soccer game, at a football game, we would go to do things with my friends, and I would leave my wife by herself, which wasn't good. But I guess the point I'm making here is that for those who are planning to get married or those who are recently married, I see them back there. Be prepared to change certain elements of your lifestyle to build and grow the relationship. Encourage each other and be prepared to go beyond your comfort zone. Ruth was prepared to even die. And yet, we are not prepared to lose an hour at work. Lesson number 5, and this is key for me. Look out for God as he is working in your life in what appears to be a very difficult situation you're going through. Let me restate that. Look out for God's hand in your life. If you are going through a very difficult situation, God is working in your life. Look out for God working in your life. God's providence or blessing is sometimes very hard. And we may be blinded by our situation. Naomi was. From a human standpoint, God had dealt bitterly with Naomi. At least in the short run, it could only feel like bitterness. Perhaps someone will say it was all owing to the sin of going to Moab. Remember, she had moved from Bethlehem to Moab. And her sons marrying foreign wives. She was paying for that. Maybe so. But Psalms 34 verse 19 says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Neither the Old Testament or the New Testament promises that believers will escape affliction in this life. But let's just suppose that Naomi's challenges or difficulties were owing to her disobedience of God. That makes the story even more encouraging for you and me, right? Because we are sinners as we stand. It shows that God is willing and able to turn his judgments into joy. If Ruth was brought into the family by sin, it is also astonishing that she is made the grandmother of David and the ancestor to Jesus Christ, who saved you and me from our sins. I want to encourage you this morning. If you feel like Naomi, downtrodden with misfortune and difficult circumstances, if you feel discouraged and burdened by problems that don't just seem to be going away, if you think that the sin of your past means that there is no hope for your future, if you think that God has cursed you, if you feel bitter and angry by the circumstances you are going through, I want to draw your attention to the circumstances that Naomi went through to prove that God will come through for you. God will come through for you in ways that you can least expect. Embrace those around you. Be an example and an encouragement to others like Ruth, and God will bless you. God will bless you in ways that you can least imagine. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For everything that was written in the past, including chapter 1 of Ruth, was written to teach you and me, so that through the endurance taught in Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we may have hope. That's what Paul is saying. There is a reason that God has shared the story of Ruth and Naomi to us. It's because he knew we would need that hope. Friends, there are enough troubles. I can never tell you how heavy those burdens are. You know better than I do. But let's not be discouraged. Rather, let's be a source of encouragement for each other. Our position should be to remain faithful. Listen to what God says again in Psalms 34, verse 19. The righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. We often wish we could escape the troubles, don't we? There are enough troubles. The pain of losing a loved one, the sorrows we have to go through, the struggles of marriages, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a job, what we have to go through in searching for a job. Sometimes we want to escape fading health. I can remember Don Ervick saying he had trouble with his knee. I know it's something that he's gone through quite a bit. All these and even other small frustrations that we never talk about. These small frustrations, friends, that are constantly wearing us down. God promises to be close to us. Our hearts may be breaking down, but God promises to be close to the brokenhearted. He promises to be a source of power. God promises to be a source of courage. For those that feel as dumb as I do, God promises to be a source of wisdom. He promises to be by our side. But remember, he and he alone chooses to deliver us from these problems. My prayer and encouragement this morning is that we be not discouraged. We be not frustrated, especially with God. We be not frustrated with those around us. Naomi was discouraged. And the reality is that indeed the burdens of life were wearing her down. But listen to what our brother Jesus Christ is saying. Our friend who sticks closer than a brother. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As we leave here this morning, my prayer is that you seek him and allow him to work in your life and be by your side as you go through the challenges you are going through. And he will bless you more than you can ever imagine. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.